Time to talk some CFL football. Week 9 starts this evening. BC and Edmonton. We'll get to that and a whole lot more. But let's welcome in a brand new regular, I think, on this program from CFL.ca and the CFL Fantasy Podcast. I have an opportunity to work with this guy on a weekly basis. Jeff Creever from CFL.ca joins us on the Great Eagle Resort and Casino Guest Hotline. Hello, Mr. Creever. How are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you, Pat? I'm
doing well. And we've gotten into it many times via text on our little podcast that we do at CFL.ca. We've differed on Johnny Manziel. We continue to differ on this guy. But here's one thing that we can't agree on, I believe. He has to be better in his next start. On Saturday when Montreal takes on the Ottawa Redblacks, we agree on the fact that he'll be much better in start number two than start number one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even most of his biggest skeptics would probably agree with that sentiment. What we saw last week was sort of a worst-case scenario. Basically, everything that could have gone wrong with Johnny Manziel did go wrong. And even then, we saw some flashes. I know it's cliche, but we saw flashes. They were there. Johnny Manziel kind of operated exactly how you would expect him to operate in his first week on the job against a team that knows him well. Whether you call that an advantage or a disadvantage, along with an O-line with the Alouettes that's still gelling, some new faces there that they got in that trade with the Ticats. And, yeah, he made some mistakes, and unfortunately they cost him. And pretty much every big mistake that he made, the Ticats were able to take full advantage of. So I'm expecting him to look a little bit more comfortable out there this week.
Why are you so confident that Johnny Manziel is going to be successful in the CFL?
Where do I start? That's a big question. To me, it starts with the talent level. It's just, it's mesmerizing and I can't get over it. It's insane. He's still young. He's motivated. He's playing for his career right now. This isn't a guy that's played 10 years in the NFL and he's been a star before and he's just trying to finish out his career here. And this isn't a Josh Freeman situation either. This is a player that is young and in his football prime right now. So you know he's going to be dedicated to go out there and put all of this together. And the funny thing is with this question, and I love to talk about this, but fans love to put quarterbacks that come here in these buckets. Whether you're talking about Tim Tebow, when we talked about the possibility of him coming to the CFL, even if that was only ever a pipe dream, Troy Smith, even a guy coming out of college like Dan LeFever. Those that like him, they'll put him in that bucket and say he's got the skill set for the CFL where, okay, he can run, he can use his legs, he can use the wide field. Those that don't like him, they'll categorize him as just another washed-up NFL guy that couldn't make it south of the border, and now he's not taking things seriously here. He's just going to come here and think he can tear apart the league. I don't really think that's fair for Johnny Manziel. I think it's a little more complicated than that. I think Manziel's sort of in his own category. He's a different quarterback than Tim Tebow. Johnny Manziel can do great things with his arm. He's not just a running guy. He's not just a scrambling guy that's going to run around out there. And Marshall Ferguson, CFL.ca, check it out, by the way. He wrote a great column on this, analyzing some of the best analysis I've seen on Manziel in his first game. And he kind of pointed out the thing that Manziel does differently that we saw last week, he doesn't scramble to run. He scrambles to extend the play and make a throw. And I think that showed a lot of maturity. And to answer your question in a long winded way, I think that's a big part of it. It's the way that he sees the game combined with his natural athletic ability. I think if he's given the time and if the Alouettes don't mess this up and if he, Johnny Football, doesn't mess this up himself, he's got a chance to do really big things here, and I think he will.
You loved my, a couple weeks ago, you loved my comparison to him and Troy Smith. You thought that was a perfect analogy, right?
That's where I'm coming from with the Tim Tebow thing. Like, they're different quarterbacks. The only similarity they have is they're big names coming out of college. They can run a little bit, but they're totally different quarterbacks.
And they played in Montreal. That would be the last. I only brought Troy Smith because look, Troy Smith came here, and reporting was that they wanted Smith to be the next guy after Anthony Calvillo, and he had maybe one or two decent outings, but that flamed out pretty quickly. And look, I think that Johnny Manziel is ultimately far more talented and has far more God-given gifts than Troy Smith did. Troy Smith's claim to fame was playing at Ohio State and national championships and that type of stuff. But it was an example to me of, a hyped guy coming to this league and not being able to ultimately be successful. But the thing that I'm most interested in, and you've talked about this a couple of times, is the motivation side of things. And if the motivation is there and it's proper and it's like, hey, this is how I'm going to revitalize my career in football, whether I stay in the CFL or it gets me an opportunity in the NFL. If that actually is the mindset 100% that Manziel's taking, that to me is how this is going to be successful and how I'm taken away from being a skeptic.
It has to be, though, doesn't it? I mean, what other option does he have? And let's be honest, if Johnny Manziel wasn't taking this league seriously and the dedication that is required to succeed in this league seriously, wouldn't you say that last weekend's game was a pretty big wake-up call in that regard? I mean, that was a baptism by fire, and he truly seemed humble. I mean, not only has he said the right things, but he seems to show the right things. So, hey, I like to think I'm realistic about this as anyone else, and I've always maintained and understood and appreciated the type of dedication that is required to succeed in this league. You're not coming here and learning overnight. It took even Doug Flutie a year. It takes all of these guys at least a year or two to sit back and learn the game and sort of take that watchful approach, but also to have the humility to say, okay, in Montreal, Johnny Manziel, is he going to be willing to learn from, say, Matt Schilt, a guy who's in his second year, who's maybe the third string quarterback, and take his advice and not put himself above that, because that's a guy, they're different games. That's a guy that's been around here longer and knows more about that. That takes a lot of humility to do that. And I understand full well that Johnny Manziel has to do that, but I don't think he has any other option at this point.
Final thought on Johnny Football, because again, another thing that we can agree on is this has generated an absolute ton of buzz for the league. And it's been a talking point since, really, it was rumored he was going to end up with the Hamilton Tiger Cats. He eventually signed there, gets traded to Montreal, so on and so forth. You run the website. Like, you're the guy at CFL.ca. I would be fascinated to know how much traffic, how much interest Johnny Football in the CFL has drawn and what that's meant to the league and the measurables at the website.
Oh, it's a ton. Just whatever you would imagine it, it's probably even more. And there's a challenge there on our side because we represent and we cover the entire league. So there's obviously a balance that has to be struck. There are a lot of incredible players in this league and big name stars. And we get a lot of fans on social media saying, well, why are you marketing this guy? He hasn't done anything yet. Well, there's a reason we're marketing him. He was one of the biggest name college athletes ever seen to come into this league, ever seen, period. And now he's here. So obviously there's a reason to cover him. But yeah, the interest in Johnny Manziel, no matter what the case, whether it's interest coming from the States, from Ticats fans, now from Alouettes fans, from fans around the league, it's obviously there and it performs very well and gets a ton of engagement on the website and on social media. So, yeah, people love to talk about it just like we are right now.
With Jeff Creever from CFL.ca joining us as we get set for week 9 of the CFL season, starts tonight with a game between Edmonton and BC, joining us on the big show this afternoon. Jeff?
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, great.
I want to still go on Johnny Manziel for at least one more question here, because a lot of the people that defend him say, well, look at the team he plays on. He doesn't have a chance with that offensive line, and maybe that's right. The way it's going to be the rest of this year. But do we foresee with this coaching staff and this general manager that it can get better in a year and a half and before his contract is done?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because that to me is the most fun part of this is, we've seen the struggles with the Montreal Alouettes, and a lot of those over the years have come from the inconsistencies and the change that's come from year to year, whether it's the quarterback, the coaching staff, the general manager, going from Jim Popp now to Kavis Reid. What this team needs is to maintain what they've had. They need continuity. So I think if things stay the same and they give Johnny a chance, I do think it will get better this year, and I think it'll get even better the year after. And by the way, this is a thing that I think people are doing. They're way too easily ruling out the possibility of Johnny Manziel staying beyond 2019. It's funny. We do a weekly say segment every week on CFL.ca. And one of the questions a few weeks ago was, give me a percentage on Manziel staying past his current contract. And most of the writers that weighed in, they were saying closer to, a lot closer to 0%. I don't know if I'm entirely sold that there's a ton of interest from Manziel, and really, unless he looks like Doug Flutie out there and looks like and plays and becomes an MOP in the next couple of years, I'm not sure if he's going to get that chance. Also, I think if he grows and develops in the CFL, there could be a real opportunity for him to become a big star and actually like it here. Montreal is a great city to be in, a great city to live in and to play in. It's actually probably better than a lot of NFL cities out there. I'm not ruling out the possibility of him being here past the next couple of years, but that's what the Owls need. They need continuity, and they need to lean on him and let him grow into that role. There's no turning back now, whether they started him too early last week or not. They got to stick with it and see what he can become.
Are we underselling his teammates a little bit? Is there a running back, or do you see a receiver or two that he should develop chemistry there? Is there anything at all?
Yeah, I do. I think the biggest question mark long-term is going to be the offensive line, because that was an aging group last year, and now that group has been made a lot younger, and Kavis Reed has done a bit of work there to rebuild that group. So they need to stay the same from week to week and build chemistry. But I don't buy the notion from people that there aren't any playmakers there. I think there are some young guys coming down the pipe that should be pretty good. Geno Lewis is one guy that I really like. T.J. Graham has the speed to sort of stretch the defense. And B.J. Cunningham, I believe, and I've said it before, is one of the most underrated players in the CFL. I just think we haven't seen him catching passes from a guy like Mike Riley or Bo Levi Mitchell, so we haven't quite seen him put up the numbers he's capable of. But he gets separation. He makes some tremendous plays on the ball, and he's very athletic. So I do think there are some weapons there. And I like William Stanback as the young running back, possibly as a successor to Sutton. So I don't buy the notion that there's no talent for Manziel to work with. Now, that defense does need some work. I think that's the area of concern for me moving forward and into the future.
You know, Jeff, I'm starting to like this Thursday night football on a regular basis. Looking forward to tonight's game as well. It's a late start out in BC against the Edmonton Eskimos. Your feelings on this one tonight?
I'm excited for this game, and the biggest reason is Travis Lule and Mike Riley. And Travis Lule is one of those guys that everybody cheers for. I know it's cliche, but a pure class. And really, he's one of those few quarterbacks that at the top of his game, you could put up there with some of the all-time greats. When he was at his top form in 2011, when the Lions were winning the Grey Cup and he was MOP, he was as good as anybody we've seen in the last couple of decades. So I don't think, and I'm not sure that Lule ever gets back to that point, but I've been impressed with what I've seen from him the last few weeks, and watching him go toe-to-toe with Mike Riley, I think that's going to tell us a lot. I hate to be dramatic and say one game is going to tell us so much, and I hate it when people do that, and here I am doing it, but I do think tonight is there's good reason to tune in, because we're going to see where Lule stands, and if that Lions offense can keep up with Mike Riley, and what I'm thinking is going to be a real offensive game.
It's funny you bring up Lule. He's one of those guys, Craver, that he's so difficult not to root for, because he truly is one of those guys who's playing for the right reasons. Dave Dickinson, the head coach of the Stampeders, joins our morning show every Wednesday and basically said the same thing yesterday morning. Said he's here for the right reasons. He's not here for a paycheck. He's come back, like he's had to come through multiple shoulder surgeries and multiple knee injuries, and he came into the season knowing he was going to be the backup. He's the starter now, but he knew he was going to be the backup coming into the season. He's playing because he wants to play. He loves the game. He loves Vancouver and that organization. He's a really difficult guy not to cheer for, isn't he?
Yeah, and you know, other players in the league that sort of come to mind in the past have been, I immediately think of Rob Bagg with the Riders and what he had to go through, and Andre Dury with the Argos, and the perseverance that those guys had to put forth pretty solid careers in the league. That just shows that it's a pure love of the game, and I think that's what Travis Lule has. And like you said, he's a really easy guy to root for. And hey, I know it's been a tough go for him the last few years, but I'm not completely ruling him out getting up to that elite form. It's funny, the last few years we've talked about his quarterback ex elite. We've mentioned it with Jeremiah Mazzoli recently. Before, we've mentioned it with Matt Nichols, Trevor Harris in Ottawa. I think if anybody's knocking on the door, has a chance to knock on that door with Bo and Riley and get in that club, it's a guy that's done it before, and that's Lule. He's his name is kind of up there with elite quarterbacks that have won Grey Cups, and you know that you need an elite quarterback to win a Grey Cup. Go down the list of Grey Cup winning pivots, and you have to go a long way back to find one that wasn't a very, very highly regarded name. Ricky Ray, by the way, winning last year, and he's on the shelf right now. So the two guys I see are Bo and Mike. I think Lule, who's done it before, has a chance to kind of be in that category. But, he's three games in, so more needs to be seen. But I'm really curious to see tonight how he looks in that matchup.
Lule is in my lineup for week 9 of CFL Fantasy. He's a good buy at just over $6,000, and I think might be one of the better value buys this week and this year. We talked a lot about that on the CFL Fantasy podcast at CFL.ca. He's in my lineup, and we'll see if it ends up paying off or not. Each week on the CFL Fantasy podcast, we give you the fantasy locks of the week, and that's where I throw it to you. You've got Jalen Saunders of the Hamilton Tiger Cats. They've got Winnipeg in week 9. You've got receiver Saunders as your lock of the week. How come he is going to have a big week this week?
Well, Jalen Saunders is actually one of the top leading receivers in the CFL, and his production isn't that far off from the second most expensive receiver now in Duke Williams. Jalen Saunders has been incredibly productive for the Tiger Cats, and it's funny, last week we kind of talked about the Ticats receivers and how it's hard to pick one or two guys. They've got so many good ones. I'm starting to go back on my word there and think Jalen Saunders is emerging as the guy along with Brandon Banks. So I think you got to take advantage of that price tag to those of us playing CFL Fantasy while you still can, because he's about the fifth ranked receiver as far as salary goes. And I think there's value there. Also the matchup, the Ticats are not going to dominate on the ground against that Bomber stingy run D. Jeremiah Mazzoli is going to have to throw the football, and I think Brandon Banks, who's very expensive, the most expensive receiver in this game, and Jalen Saunders are going to be two benefactors from this. If the Ticats are going to go on the road and beat Winnipeg and beat that defense, those guys are going to be getting the football a lot.
My lock of the week is Eskimos receiver Darrell Walker. They've got BC tonight in Thursday Night Football. BC gets torched in the air. I think they're the seventh-ranked pass defense in the CFL, and you can routinely put up good yards on them with Mike Riley going up against the BC Lions. I like the two receivers for the Eskimos in Duke Williams and Darrell Walker, but Duke lit up the BC Lions in Week 3. I think he gets the extra attention tonight. I think that leaves Darrell Walker open for a lot of looks, and when he gets a lot of looks, he usually racks up the yards in the majors. So Darrell Walker of the Eskimos is my lock of the week for Week 9 of CFL Fantasy. Good stuff, Creever. That was a lot of fun. We'll do it again next week. That was awesome.
Glad I punched my ticket for next week. I was getting a little nervous when you sent those texts before the show. I won't quote you word for word, because that's a good way to get kicked off. There's something along the lines of don't mess this up.
Yes, similar to that. So that's the G-rated version of it. But yeah, that's about right.
See, like, you're missing a four-letter word in there.
Yeah, mess. Mess is a four-letter word.
Right. Yeah, I got it.
Bye, Creever.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate coming on here. It's fun to talk football with you.